This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. There are signs of political change all over the country, but these often reflect the kind of demographic changes that can accumulate for decades. In the states of the old Confederacy, change has been moving in. Over the last couple of decades, North Carolina and surrounding states have drawn large numbers of Latino immigrants. Siler City, in North Carolina's rolling Piedmont region, used to be the kind of town where almost everybody, black and white, had roots going back a century or more. But today, about half of Siler City's residents are Latino immigrants drawn to grueling jobs in the chicken processing plants. John Bewin, the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University, visited Siler City many times over the past year and produced a radio documentary called Nuevo South. John Bewin joins us, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
Of course, some people will remember Siler City from being mentioned in the old Andrew Griffith show. But tell us about what happened there in 2000.
In April of that year, Scott, David Duke, the former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, turned Louisiana politician, he went to Siler City to lead an anti-immigrant rally. He was invited by a handful of local white supremacists. I think we have some tape of the speech he gave.
The truth and the reason why we're here today is because we have a deep and abiding love for our heritage, for this town that your fathers and mothers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and mothers, what they built with their sweat and their sacrifice and their vision.
But did David Duke set the town on fire the way he hoped to?
He really did not. A few dozen people showed up carrying anti-immigrant signs and cheering for him, but most of the town stayed away. And if you talk to anybody in Siler City 8 years later, they'll tell you that the David Duke rally was a turning point in race relations for the better.
Here's John Bewin's story now in the Nuevo South.
Siler City is a traditional southern sports town, long proud of its football and basketball teams. But the town's high school, Jordan Matthews, is now more than half Latino, so the school added soccer a few years ago. The girls' team, the Lady Jets, is about half Latino and half white.
I'm Jenny Pleasance, and I'm here at Jordan Matthews, a little late for the soccer game. We appear to be winning by 4 goals now. I'm watching my child, Meredith Pleasance. She's number 18, and she's a right wing.
Jenny Pleasance is white and a native North Carolinian. She says Meredith gets along well with her Latina teammates.
But the funny thing is when you go to the soccer games, none of their parents speak English. So they all sit on one side and we all sit on the other. I don't understand a thing they're saying. You know, how do you say your kid's playing really good if half the time you can't pronounce the name, you know, and they don't understand anything you're saying.
Go Shannon!
Oh!
For lots of people in big cities, being unable to chat with your fellow soccer parents would hardly register as a problem. But in what used to be an everybody-knows-everybody kind of town, Pleasant says, it feels like something important has been lost.
You know, the biggest change I'd have to see would be at my pediatrician's. I grew up being able to walk in, and they all knew who I was, and I saw the same doctor, and now when you go in, there's 20 Hispanic families and kids everywhere, and they have the lady up front speaks Spanish, and that does bother me. I feel like I'm the minority.
Well, I've always described what a town like Siler City, or now what the country's going through, as sort of the 5 stages of dealing with grief or dealing with immigration or cultural change.
Paul Quadros is the coach of the high school soccer teams in Siler City. He's also a journalist and author who teaches at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
You know, initially there might be denial, people saying, well, you know, it's not really going to change. And when I got here, I heard a lot of depression from longtime residents. You know, a real sense of loss of the community and the culture and everything that Siler City was.
It's not just white people in Siler City who can sound unhappy about the immigrant population. Eddie Ambrose Green is African-American, a lifelong Siler City resident, and a former truck driver. On a driving tour through town, we pull up beside a big chicken processing plant, one of the employers that have attracted several thousand Latinos to Siler City.
Look at the workforce. This is a good time. They're changing shifts. I don't mean to say this in a racist kind of way, but if you ever seen a house overrun with roaches and you can't stop them, and it's like you look and there's two, when you look again, there's four, when you look back, there's seven. If you sit here, you'll notice you don't see a black person or a white person come out of this plant at all.
Most African Americans in Siler City don't talk in such inflammatory ways, but it's easy to find ambivalence among them. Zilphia Dark is 64. She retired last year as a federal inspector in Siler City's poultry plants.
So I work with the Latinos, but they are hardworking people, and I understand the reason why they are coming, because no work, and if they were poor like I was growing up, I can understand trying to feed your family. You about do anything. The work is really hard work in the poultry plant, and I think they treat them, well, to me, the Latinos are really taking place of the blacks, what we used to go through.
I have a different point of view than my sister, which I love dearly, but we think differently.
Susan Alston is Zilphia Dark's younger sister.
And yes, I believe that all of us are human, but to see the same things, the rights that I never had in high school, to just be able to go into a store without feeling the oppression of I'm taking something or I'm being watched. I don't hate the Hispanics. I just think they stepped into a place that we still haven't arrived at 2008.
I pretty much like here because it's, I don't know, it's a different experience since I used to live in the countryside in Guatemala.
Deborah is a senior in high school. She plays soccer for the Jordan Matthews Lady Jets. Her family moved to North Carolina in 2002. They live in a mobile home park near Siler City's biggest employer, the Townsend Chicken Plant.
And it's like only Hispanics living here, mostly from Mexico.
Deborah's father, Francisco, works for a home building company. He says he brought his family to Siler City not knowing anything about the culture or racial history of the American South.
What we have seen is that there are people, like in all places, who are good, and there are people who look at others with disdain.
People in Siler City say tension over immigration grew more and more intense through the 1990s. As two big chicken plants expanded and recruited more workers, Latinos came and kept coming. It sank in among longtime residents that the Latinos were here to stay. Barry Hayes owns and operates WNCA, Siler City's AM radio station.
I think the broader community here has welcomed our newcomers with open arms. The only rub is we would just like for them to obey our laws and learn some of our cultures here and keep clean yards.
Hayes says housing conditions were an issue too.
We had folks who were moving into vacant houses, and then they would be inviting their relatives to come, and pretty soon we would have a house with 10, 15, who knows, maybe 20 people living in one house, and they'd be parking their cars in the, all in the front yard and hanging their laundry out in the bushes and so forth. We had had to deal with that a little bit and trying to educate them as to our ways here in Siler City.
So you got the Depression, and then you got this sort of sense of fear of they're taking over.
Soccer coach and journalist Paul Quadros.
And then, you know, you have anger.
Quadros says the anger culminated in the David Duke rally of 2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, what are we supposed to do? Just be quiet? Just keep our mouths shut? While our country and our community and our town and our schools and our heritage is taken away from us? Is that what we're supposed to do? I say no! I say never!
This was brought in by an extremist group.
Radio station owner Barry Hayes.
This was not representative of the mindset here in Siler City at all. And we kind of hung our heads, you know, when that happened and couldn't wait for it to go away.
Everyone in Siler City seems to agree on this. If Duke wanted to inflame anti-immigrant sentiment in town, his appearance had the opposite effect. Paul Quadros.
Mostly made people kind of think, you know, where they stood on this issue. You know, were they going to stand down there with David Duke and the Klan against the Latino population, or were they going to try and find some other kind of accommodation to be able to live in that town?
Okay.
The accommodations have come on all sides.
Somewhere on that pad, there's a bunch of stuff in red. Anywhere you want to start.
Anywhere.
Go anywhere you want to go.
Anywhere.
All right.
On a sunny afternoon, Tim Reif, driving a city government vehicle, picks up his friend Marcia Espinola in front of her office downtown. Reif is a white North Carolina native with a ponytail and an easy laugh. He's the code enforcement officer for the town of Siler City.
There's a set of guidelines in the town code, or laws, they're actually laws, deals somewhat with aesthetics and things like that of the town, and my job is to enforce, and I try to use kids' gloves to do that. I don't try to, you know, scare anybody into anything or anything else. I ask them politely. And
Tim is doing a good job. The problem is he doesn't speak enough Spanish.
Marcia Espinola is a Chilean immigrant. She works for Hispanic Liaison, a local nonprofit service and advocacy group. On some days, Reif goes on his own to visit the homes of white and black residents with code violations. This day, Espinola goes with him to homes where Spanish is spoken.
Hi, how are you?
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
She explained to him that he needed to remove the sofa from the porch, and she told him that he could take it inside or he could take it to the curb.
Entonces tiene que pintarlo.
He may have not done the graffiti, someone else.
That.
Okay, all right. I have no clue what you said. Thanks for your cooperation. Thank you. Gracias.
Most everybody in Siler City admits the town has a long way to go toward racial tolerance and understanding. But almost two decades after Latinos started settling in town, most also agree the racial atmosphere is more calm than it's been in years.
Come here!
Jenny Pleasance is the soccer mom who complained about the many Hispanic families in her doctor's waiting room. But at this game, the last home game of her daughter's career, Pleasance is sitting near Virginia Tobar, the interpreter at Jordan Matthews High School.
Miss Tobar's been at Jordan Matthews for the last 4 years, and she's just one that kind of knows everybody.
Everybody.
No matter who they are, what grade they're in, where they go to, you know, church, whatever.
And she can speak Spanish in 1 second, then turn around and speak English to me when I walk in the door. I don't know a thing she said 5 minutes before, but it's like, whatever, it works. She really is a gem to Jordan Matthews.
Oh, well,
she really
you.
Is.
Thank you.
She is a gem. We're very lucky.
Well, thanks.
In that earlier interview, Jenny Pleasance complained that she couldn't pronounce the names of her daughter's immigrant teammates. But there are signs that she's getting the hang of it.
John Bewin from the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University, assisted by Tennessee Watson. John joins us again. And, of course, early on we hear a resident in Siler City talking about immigrants as roaches. And then you have that wonderful last scene at the soccer game where a woman says, whatever, it works. Living in North Carolina as you do, what do you see as the prospect for Siler City in the future?
Well, I think it's hard to say. I think it's a gradual process and an evolution. It does seem clear that the demographic change in this part of the country is permanent. And it seems to me that process of adapting to racial and cultural change really doesn't look much different in the South of today than it would in the Midwest or any other part of the country where Latino population is relatively new.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Scott.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.